In 2007, when the body of an Aboriginal boy was found in a shallow waterhole near Borroloola, a fishing town 1,000 kilometres southeast of Darwin, the local police immediately declared the death an accident. They said the boy, who we're calling Kay Raggett, at the request of his family, wandered off and fell into the waterhole, knocked his head and drowned. But a subsequent re-examination of the case has raised the suspicion that Kay did not die accidentally, but rather was murdered, and most likely by someone he knew. This became the longest outstanding coronial matter in the Northern Territory, and it's the topic of tonight's Four Corners on ABC One. The reporter Jeff Thompson is with us in the Sydney studios. Welcome back to Breakfast, Jeff.
Thank you, James.
So tell us what is known about Kay Raggett's death. What's on the record?
Well, we know that, for instance, there were footprints that were found behind the house. Houses where he was last seen, and these included the footprints of an adult walking alongside him, and these were seen by family members and other members in the community. But arguably, this evidence was not taken particularly seriously by the police at the time. And then, in the direction where his body was ultimately found, were items of clothing, which were described by some members of the family as being his favourite pieces of clothing. They weren't shown to the family for almost another 3 years. But most devastatingly, perhaps, is that when his body was taken out of this muddy, knee-deep waterhole that he apparently went swimming in, at least one large rock was seen to fall out of his shorts. And when he was then taken to Darwin for an autopsy, two more rocks were found inside the legs of his shorts. But this was never regarded as suspicious, even though people who watched his body be removed instantly thought that he'd been weighed down.
Not the pockets of the shorts, the legs.
That's right, the leggings of the shorts.
Kids put things in their pockets, but not so much the leggings.
And that's precisely what the Northern Territory coroner pointed out at the inquest, that what's been described as bread and butter plate size rocks are not typically put into the legging of the shorts of an 8-year-old boy unless someone put them there.
So presumably, as this rock fell out, it was kept for the purposes of gathering potential evidence.
No, it never was. It was seen by at least one police officer and another local person involved in the search. The police officer says he told other police at the scene, but it was never collected as evidence. And also, once this waterhole was drained, there a pile of rocks was found under the body, seemingly, according to what was eventually a senior major crime unit investigator, that they seemed to have been recently placed there. And all this evidence was, I guess, staring the police in the face, but they have admitted as much. They formed the mistaken theory that he had accidentally drowned and basically moulded the investigation to fit with that theory.
So what's the timeline? They found that he had drowned, then there was a coronial inquiry, as there always would be, then the coronial inquiry found that was, well, poor police performance?
Yeah, indeed, except that what happened is that he drowned, and really when you have an accidental drowning like that, it should really be a matter of months before this is wrapped up by the local police and it goes to the coroner to have a cause of death. This dragged on for almost 3 years until the coroner got very impatient and put pressure on the police, and the police started to reinvestigate and take it seriously towards the end. But it was too late. And one of the key reasons it was too late is because there was some key, for instance, DNA evidence that was found at the scene, which ended up matching with someone's DNA profile who was around that day. But this evidence became utterly useless because, for reasons that really can't be explained by anyone, some medical swabs that were taken from the remains of this boy were destroyed before the coroner had ruled on the cause of death and before any DNA samples could be taken from them.
So is this a foul play or a terrible case of incompetence?
Look, I think that I think there's no doubt there was foul play in the death of the boy. And I think in terms of the police, when you try and look at someone to see if there's been a cover-up, there were instances, for instance, that the police did say, oh, they didn't want to tell the family about the rocks because, it's an investigation and they wanted to see where that went. But I think it's more about systemic willful disregard, I suppose, that at every level, his little file ended up at the bottom until the evidence became useless, and a lot of the observations on that day from witnesses became so far removed from the events which occurred that I really think it's a case of him systemically being, his case being systemically ignored.
Well, that's what Kay Raggett, the boy, the dead boy's guardian, Cliff Taylor, argues, and he has an idea why this case always went to the bottom of the pile, as you put it. Let's have a listen.
You know, when a certain person goes missing somewhere else, there's big articles, there's big news things about it. There was nothing on him. You know, and that's what makes me angry, there was nothing. And yet, you know, I feel sorry for other people that have lost their kids and that. Yes, okay, but they've had that, you know, they've had that sort of, as you would say, spotlight, you know, about trying to find this certain kid, you know, or whatever. But yet there was nothing on him.
That's Cliff Taylor. What is the feeling in the community? It's also compounded and made more complex by the fact that suspect or suspects remain within this tiny community.
Yeah, that's right. It was almost certainly somebody that this young boy knew, whether it's, as is pointed out to us, is that everyone in Borroloola is this family, are these families' relatives in some way or other. Yeah, I think that, for instance, the Cliff Taylor there and his partner, Adrian Raggett, they've got about 9 children in their care. This young boy was one of them, and they were very well regarded as people that looked after the kids in their care. And since this has happened, they've now left Borroloola and they're now living in Darwin, and they just don't believe that Borroloola is safe for children anymore. And I think principally because something like this can happen, there seems to be little care for finding who did it, and that culture of impunity is perhaps one in which other terrible crimes can thrive.
Is there anything apart from obviously raised awareness that can come from your reporting of this case tonight on ABC One?
Look, unfortunately, in many ways, it may be too late if there was someone stepped forward and there was a confession. Having said that, this is an open case. It's been referred to the Cold Case Investigation Unit. Because of the way the investigation was done at first instance and because of the passage of time, it's going to be extremely difficult now for this family to find closure.
But perhaps police procedures in the future may be tightened. It's Jeff Thompson's report. It's called Little Boy Lost. It's tonight, ABC One at 8:30. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jane.